Radio Show, live from Ferd's Sports Bar and Grill, providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps to the pros in Champa Bay. Now, here's your host, Mike Rickard.
Good afternoon on this Saturday, May 21st, 2022. This is Mike Rickard with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, powered by RadioSt.Pete.com on the Tan Talk family of stations and streaming live on both platforms. And as I said, we're every Saturday, we are live from Ferg's right here in the heart of Champa Bay, where the fans have been celebrating sports for 29 years. And, of course, we're right across the street from Tropicana Field. I'm perched up top, out back, looking at the Trop as they are in Baltimore for game number two this evening. And a lot of action down here at Ferg's today. This time of year, we got a lot of graduation parties and always busy. Come on down, 94 televisions. You watch any of the baseball games today. Got a jam-packed show. I say that each and every Saturday, but last week I figured out I had talked to 22 different individuals in the two-hour period, and it was a wide variety of show. Not as many today, but just as good a quality, where we provide you a fresh and a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps to the pros. And today we're going to talk to Bob Bauer, Tampa Downs handicapper. We'll talk at Belmont, the second jewel of the Triple Crown. And we'll get his picks, his favorites. The big O, Oscar Garner the third, will help me get this show off the ground for the next 2 hours. Then we're going to talk to Toby Hall. We've talked to Toby before. He's a fan favorite here in the area. Former Chicago White Sox and Tampa Bay Ray catcher, and immersed in the world of peewees and preps and college baseball. Right now, he's actually in Grand Junction. He's working in the Rockies system, and he's going to take time out from practice today to talk to us on the western slope of Colorado. The Boca Ciega Pirate football teams, Eric Matt Gudorf and a few of his players, they'll come. Spring football just wound up. And then, of course, for 3 weeks, we had the Hollins baseball team here, and they did a superb job of advancing to the district championship against Jesuit, a powerhouse who actually plays in the state championships down in Fort Myers. We'll talk, but I want to talk to Ralph Rogers. He was the coach of the year, and we'll rewind the year, the team that he had around him, and the accomplishments, and then of course, he was, as I said, the coach of the year in the district. So we'll look forward to talking to Hollins baseball coach Ralph Rogers. He'll give us a little snapshot of what's going on down there in Fort Myers. And then I don't think he's going to like the name of this, but since we're at the Ferg's 19th hole, we're launching a new concept now, and I'm calling it BS at the Bar, a round table with Ray Kennedy, the Big O, Alex Riva. And I'll be the moderator. We'll talk Bucks, Rays, NBA, college football, NIL. We'll talk. Maybe we'll throw a little A&M and Alabama conversation and transfer protocol. And then, of course, it is the PGA Championship taking place. And I'll make sure that Oscar keeps us appraised. If you're a Tiger Woods fan, don't turn on the television. You want to remember him yesterday for his incredible performance to grind it out. And not today. What'd you say, young man?
In fond memory, right?
Yeah.
Because it's
don't say it like he's dead.
Well, that's how you said it.
He's not deceased. We just want to remember his play yesterday.
How he's being remembered.
Exactly. Thank you. You drink your coffee and get your A game back on, brother. But I applaud you today, being at 23 years of age. Where were you today?
So we were on the south side of 14th Street South. We were just doing a neighborhood cleanup. We're with an organization called Keep Pinellas Beautiful. And we were just out there organizing today to pick up some trash and hand in some trash bags. That was about it.
I'm very proud of you.
Appreciate it.
In all seriousness. And then
I was accused of a wake and bake because I was so slow. I'm tired from helping the community, actually.
Well, you're the man. I take that back. I'll buy you a steak later on. All right. We're on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. Of course, Big Ed up on the controls. Our flagship is WTAN 106.1 FM, AM 1340, WZHR AM 1400 and 104.3 FM, and WDCF AM 1350 and 102.3 FM. And we reach all of Pasco, Pinellas, and Hillsborough counties. got some breaking news in the next couple of weeks of the direction we're going to take the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection with another launch, and that'll be the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Prep Connection. I've been doing a lot of evaluation. There are over 100 high schools in this Tri-County area. We've been blessed to dip our toe in the water. I did it up north for many years, and we're going to give you the most expansive, broad coverage of high school sports on the radio. No one's doing this right now, along with our other social media. And we were talking to boys, girls, every class, and recognize them for positive participation in the world of golf. You don't happen to have that leaderboard right now? The guys that have teed off while I get our next guest on.
So far, the best that's teed off, Cantor, he's tied for 23rd. The guys who have teed off so far have not been doing too well. Brooks is only a couple holes in. Varner's only a couple holes in. Rahm's maybe three holes in. I think the most notable right now is watching Tiger, who on the front nine, I think, went four over. So he's just not having a great start to his day at all. But like we said on the tee earlier, for him, we just want to see him make the cut and make the weekend.
Exactly. Well, this gentleman's got a fight to catch, and he's kind enough. He helped us with the Kentucky Derby. He's Bob Bauer. He's a handicapper. He knows everything inside and out the world of horse racing. And I appreciate you taking time, Bob, to join us here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection as the 147th Preakness Stakes has post time today.
Yeah, happy Preakness Day to you, Mike. How you been?
Not too bad for an old man. Actually, it was a little under the weather. You know how us oldsters, and you're about my wheelhouse. But I'm rallying, and I'm looking forward to this second jewel, as I'm sure you are. Now you're heading home to see a graduation, right?
Yeah, my son graduates from college tomorrow. I'm catching a flight this afternoon.
Well, congratulations on that accomplishment.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, it's a big day.
So let's talk about the 147th, of course, everybody is aware by now that Rich Strike, and that's one thing I want to ask you as a handicapper. It happens quite often when the Derby winner decides to bypass the Preakness Stakes. What's the biggest reason for that, Bob?
You know, it doesn't happen that often because the chance to win the Triple Crown is a once in a lifetime chance for the horse and many times for the owner and trainer. However, in this case, the connections, the trainer and the owner feel that bringing the horse back in 14 days after the race in the Kentucky Derby is too much for the horse, and they're looking out for the welfare of the horse, and that you have to take your hat off to them for that as horsemen and as, participants in the sport. Because a lot of outfits might not do that, but these gentlemen, I don't know these gentlemen personally, but they seem to have a very holistic attitude towards their horse.
Well, they're
saving them for the Belmont.
I don't think the world of horse racing knows these gentlemen. They're kind of the outsiders looking in, and they shocked the world with that Kentucky Derby win.
Yeah, you know, the old saying is a good horse can come from anywhere, this one did, and also the Kentucky Derby set up for that to happen because he was a stone cold come from behind closer, as we all saw, and the early fractions of the Kentucky Derby, the first quarter and the second quarter, were the fastest in the history of the race. That's why all the household name horses that were favorites in the betting, they all didn't make it because they were all on the engine fighting the fight, and this horse saved his energy till late. But take nothing away from him, though. He won the Kentucky Derby, and he did it fair and square. Having said that, usually the Kentucky Derby winner is the favorite in the Preakness. So the winner isn't there, but the second place horse is, and he will be the favorite. And that's number five. That's number eight. Epicenter ran second in the Derby, and he looks like, you know, he has every right to come right back and win again. The only caution I have about him is he has run four or five races in a row this winter and spring season, and he really ran a hard race in the Kentucky Derby. Let's face it, he was right there on the lead of the second call in fast fractions, and he held right on into the lead and ended up finishing second. And it's a big ask for them to come back in 14 more days. I mean, Steve Asmussen is one of the best trainers in the game, and if he's running them and thinks he's got a chance, he definitely has a chance. But I like, myself, the filly in here today. I'm going to give the big girl a chance. That's number four, Secret Oath, from the Wayne Lucas stable. And some of the younger fans might not know Wayne Lucas. He's well in his 80s, and he is the dean of American race trainers. And he has won the Preakness, I think, six times in previous years. And he also is very good with fillies jumping up and beating the boys. He had the great filly Flying Colors, who won the Kentucky Derby, I think it was in 1988, back when we were both young, so to say. I think Secret Oath is the one, has a big chance here. Luis Saez rode her in the Kentucky Oaks, where she was an easy winner, and she's following right in the hoof prints of the great filly Rachel Alexandra, who in 2009 won the Kentucky Oaks and then went on to win the Preakness. And Wayne Lucas is one of the best trainers in the business, and she also won a lifetime best speed figure in her last race. So every signal to me signals that she's ready to run the race of her life. And also Luis Saez, who's a great jockey, rode her last time, and he worked her out over the track and came back and said she's splendid. So she's going to run a big race. Whether she's good enough to beat all of these remains to be seen, but I'm going to bet number four, Secret Oath, to win. And I'm going to bet an exacta box with number four, Secret Oath, of course. Number five,
Early Voting.
Early Voting from the Chad Brown Barn is a speed merchant, and he'll be in the mix somewhere. And then, of course, we have our favorite, number eight.
Well, you know,
So put those three exacta box, and I think you can hit the exacta.
I like that. So
but I'm going to bet Secret Oath. I'm going to root for the filly. I think she's
4, 5, and 8. 4, 5, and 8.
Yep. And she may, you know, if she wins this race, she'll go to the history books. I mean, this is a big jump up for her in the horse racing world. But I think she's good enough, and I like her connections.
And so, Wayne Lucas, 86 years young, still he's still the
he's the granddaddy of the game.
Exactly.
And he's still very, you know, he's very smart. He's very spry. He still gets out on a pony every morning and rides next to his horses as they're exercising on the track and things. And he's in the barn every morning at 5 o'clock in the morning looking after his horses. And if anybody can, you know, help this filly win, I think he can do it. He wouldn't be putting her in if he didn't think that she could win. I think Mr. Lucas is one of the best there is.
Hey, I gotta ask you a question regarding the and for our audience that aren't they only pay attention for the Triple Crown races. You take a look at the Kentucky Derby. There were 20 in the field, and there's only 9 today. What's that factor?
You know, one of the factors is every owner and trainer and, you know, jockey dreams of being in the Kentucky Derby. And a lot of times, if a horse can make the Kentucky Derby, by make, I mean have enough points and enough earnings to get in, because that's how they do it. The best horses that have the best records as far as the amount of races won, the money they've won, and the caliber of racing they've won, that's how they get points, and that's how they decide who gets in the Kentucky Derby. So some owners, their horse is good enough to get in the Kentucky Derby, then he runs in the Kentucky Derby, doesn't do well, and then they say, okay, you know, we gave him his chance against the big kids. We're going to, you know, we're going to take him out. We're going to save him for an allowance race at Saratoga. We're going to ship him to Kenya. So anyway, this is kind of a winnowing out of the three-year-old picture now. So, and that's what happened here. There's only one or two horses that ran in the Kentucky Derby running in the Preakness, and now there's some new shooters, and they'll see how they do. And then if they do well, and whoever comes out of the Preakness well, some of their connections will ship them to the Belmont in 3 weeks. And also there'll be new shooters in New York waiting to come in. So it's a three-year-old racehorses are like teenage kids. They improve by leaps and bounds, you know, month by month.
Well, some do, Bob. Some do.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I'm not so certain that I did. Okay, so I look at this in simplification. You're staying away from simplification. You still like your 4, 5, 8. A lot of people are on the simplification bandwagon.
Well, because he ran in the Derby. He's got a good post now. Johnny Velasquez is going to save ground coming from the one post.
And explain that to our audience. You know, the advantages, and is that just a blind draw on where you come out of the gate?
The way they do it is they draw numbers out of a pill bottle with round numbers, and what they do is they shake it up, and let's say there's going to be 10 races, horses in a race. The first horse whose name is on the list, they shake that number. If he comes out number three, he's a number three horse, and he comes out of the three post, and then they shake it again, and then if an eight comes out, well, he's the number eight horse, the second, and like that, and that's what they do.
It's a lottery.
And once in a while, like on the big races, the Kentucky Derby and things, they show that they do it a little more elaborately on national television. You know, they have like a drum, you know, where they spin it around. But in most racetracks, in the racing office, they have they call it a pill bottle. They used to have them in pool halls too. Back in the day.
Oh yeah, I remember.
You shake it up and you roll it on. And
I remember those days.
Well, they use that to pick the post position.
I heard about those days. I was never frequenting any of those establishments.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Hey, I gotta ask you this. And I'm asking the question, but I was gonna throw it. That was my girlfriend who doesn't know anything, but I didn't know either. Are jockeys, are they independent contractors?
Yes.
I thought so. I mean, so.
Most, a great, 99%, these days 99% of the time, way back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, and it used to be a jockey would be hired by a barn, like the great Calumet Stable might have hired way back when, would hire a great jockey. He would be their jockey, their main jockey. But today, no, they're one out of 1,000 jockeys is hired by a barn exclusively now. It doesn't happen very much anymore.
All right. So the winner of the Kentucky Derby, he wins 10%, which was, in my math, about 180 grand. He's got a beautiful wife and a young child. They typically, do they have an agent then that finds them?
Oh yeah, right? Certainly do. Yeah, every jockey has to have an agent, and having the jockey agent is one of the unknown people that makes the game run. And actually, I'm personal friends with a couple of jockey agents, and they say the jockey agents are one of the best handicappers there are, because what the jockey agent does is he looks at an upcoming race and he tries to figure out who's got a good chance to win. He tries to get his jockey on that horse. And they have to be a little bit of a politician and a salesman, because what you have to do is go talk to a trainer and say to him, you know, my jockey's doing really well now. He won the big race last week and so and so, and you've been riding. And I see that you're a regular jockey, went out of town. Why don't you give my jockey a chance, you know? And they do all that kind of stuff, you know?
Well, they're almost like a general manager of a sports team then.
Yeah, yes. And they also, they take a cut of the jockey's, they take, I think, 10% of the jockey's winnings for booking his mounts and so on.
Well, after that that win of the Kentucky Derby, that agent and that jockey are probably in high demand. Do different stables then go look for those guys? Say, hey, man, he's a successful jockey now. He's got his
sometimes, and some trainers know they know who the prominent jockeys are at a track. So if they ship a horse in, they know to look for like when they chip into Tampa, they know look for Sammy Camacho or look for Danny Centeno or Ronnie Allen Jr. or somebody that's been around and knows what he's doing. That's the kind of thing they jockeys definitely they call it their book of business. They're like any other kind of practitioner. And trainers tend, just like any other business, if they have a jockey and the jockey does well by them, then they hire them back, they keep them employed. If not, then they switch and try to find a new jockey.
Well, this has been superb conversation for Dummy 101 people that follow during the Triple Crown, and I hope to get you back for the Belmont. I do have to ask you this. All the years you've been in the biz, have you ever seen a race run like that, like the Derby was run by Red Strikes? I mean, it was amazing.
Yeah, I have, because maybe not a big race like the Kentucky Derby, but I'm a student of pace. And with the, if they go too fast early, the late closers have a chance. You know, pace makes the race. Just almost like in human racing, the Olympics. Like, let's say you're running the Olympic marathon. If the one of the best runners, if he gets out in front, he's got to slow it down and save his strength. So right, if he can get an early lead to himself, he can probably win the race. But on the other hand, if he gets out front running hard and two other guys are chasing him, then he'll tire too, and then somebody will come from the back and beat him off.
Well, Bob Bauer, I appreciate you taking time. So 458 exacta, that's the call today for the 147th Preakness Stakes, and you'll land in time to watch the race. I'm hoping, and
I hope so. If not, I got my best in already.
Well, and the bottom line is this is much more important. Have a great family weekend, and I look forward to talking to you again the weekend of the Belmont, my man.
All right, Mike. This is handicapper Bob Bauer wishing you good luck at the races today. Bye-bye.
I enjoyed that. Did you get a little wisdom there now?
I did. Next time, if we have him on again.
458.
I want to talk him a little bit more about. So yeah, 458. I'm going to go play the three straight, the box over
four
at the.
458. You can do it online.
You can place those online now?
Yeah, 458, brother. I'm doing for sure. Right now, I'm going to try to get a hold of the great Toby Hall. We've got Boca Ciega, the Pirates, in the house. We'll be talking a little spring football here in a bit. I see that coffee's waking you up.
Yeah, I'm a little connected right now. I'm a little jittery, too, so I'm antsy.
Well, don't start spewing a bunch of things that don't make sense. You've got a big task here at 1:30. And this gentleman's kind enough to take time out to join us. He's been down here before. He's an icon at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill and in the community. And he's Toby Hall. And I appreciate you, my friend, taking time to join us today down here at Ferg's as I'm looking at Tropicana Field where you had success and probably missed those days once in a while.
No problem. How you guys doing? You doing all right?
We're doing great, man. How are things in Grand Junction?
It's beautiful. I mean, besides it's 43 degrees, but it's sunny.
Yeah.
So it's I heard Denver got like a foot of snow last night in May. That's kind of weird, but
my son lives in Littleton, and I called him, and as I alluded to you, I lived there in the 80s, and I love Colorado. And by the way, a little tip, and then I'll turn it over to you. Make sure, it's about an hour and 20 minutes over to Glenwood Springs. There's a great restaurant over there.
Okay.
And then get in take the boys, get in the largest mineral springs in the world. Is right there in Glenwood Springs. It's very cool. And then go over to the Riviera Supper Club and Scratch Kitchen. Grab yourself a brew or two, and then stop in at Doc Holliday's. That's where Doc passed away back in the day.
Wow.
Yeah, a lot of tombstone trivia there at Grand Junction.
Yeah.
So get your carcass over there and have some fun.
That's awesome. Yeah, thank you.
So let's talk about when you made this decision and what you're doing over there. Of course, you're in the Pioneer League. You play at, was it Supalizio Field?
Yep, that's it. About a couple of months ago, I got a call. And then this league, you know, when Major League Baseball got rid of a lot of minor league teams, Major League Baseball basically bought out this league. And the Rockies own this team here. So it's basically slated for, you know, since there's only 20 rounds in the draft. This is kind of like a lot of kids that are 21st round to 40th round that, you know, are really good. So a lot of fifth year seniors or kids that just graduated that are on the Rockies prospect list.
Did they reach out to you, or were you itching to get into coaching?
No, I really wasn't itching to do any of this. And just that phone call, I asked my wife. She goes, "Well, summer and Colorado, Montana, and Wyoming. Doesn't sound too bad. And then Bobby Jinks, one of my former pitchers with the White Sox, is our skipper. So he said, let's get the band back together.
Well, you got the band back together. Did you take the fam with you?
My son's out here with me right now, and then he's going to fly out on Wednesday. He's going to play in the draft league up in Williamsport, Pennsylvania.
Oh, cool. Hey, let's talk a little bit. I think I told you we were going to be focusing on prep and college a lot more, diving into the local scene. Let's talk about your son's season and what he's doing now. I thoroughly enjoyed last time you guys were down here with him and a couple of his buddies.
Yeah, he started off in the fall at USF, where he was committed to, and speaking with his advisor and some scouts, it was the best opportunity to get him out of there and get him into JUCO, and he had a great season, and just set him up for the summer, so we'll see what happens.
Which JUCO did he go at? And I should have noticed, I looked at your video, and it was always entertaining, and I appreciated seeing it. Which JUCO was he at?
State College of Florida, down in Manatee.
So not far for you to travel.
No, it's a piece of cake, hour away. It was good.
And his aspirations, obviously, are to continue his career. So he's playing summer ball in Williamsport?
Yeah. So that league there, that New York Penn League, was another victim of, getting rid of the teams. And Major League Baseball started a draft league, which is the Appy League and that New York Penn League. So they only play 40 games, and it's heavily scouted, so it's an honor for him to go to that.
Well, certainly an honor. I have a good friend. Well, you met him. Maybe you didn't meet him when you went to the Field of Dreams. My buddy Jeff Lance, who's now with MLB. But when that dark day came and they just essentially slaughtered all those minor league teams, I just thought that was... That was a horrible move for Major League Baseball, and it's good to see some of these communities rallying with other options. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, yeah. Major League Baseball came back, and they basically own both of these leagues, independently, whether it's the organization or where Tatum's going. That's all ran through Major League Baseball. So at least they, there was about a year or two that those poor cities didn't, have any ball, but they came up with this plan, and which is great.
I was in Iowa about 3 weeks ago, and I think I mentioned I worked for the AAA arm of the Chicago Cubs, the Iowa Cubs, and the GM's still there, my good buddy, and we talked about this topic, and they're under new ownership and still affiliated with the Chicago Cubs, and he said, for the old hardliners, it was a transition, and they're a lot of these communities, it was the focal point. If they had an A team, it was the focal point of the summer for them, and they built their world around it.
Yeah, absolutely. And the hard part is when Major League Baseball went back to went to only having 20 rounds, that's only 500 kids going in the nation each year. So, they needed less fields. They're only going with five teams each organization. So, I get their game plan on it. Back when it was 40 rounds, 45 rounds, they needed plenty of fields. So the league like where I'm at now is the perfect opportunity for those kids to get seen. So they did a great job out here.
What round were you drafted in?
I was in ninth.
Ninth round. And then a successful career, of course, with the Rays right across this. I'm looking at the top right now, and then, of course, Chicago White Sox. I bet you have a lot of fond memories, though, of your minor league stint.
Oh, yeah, it was great, especially playing in Charleston and Durham and all those places. But, so I got to get going. We're doing that spring training right now, but I got to go throw. I'll catch up with you guys down in the summer.
You go throw. Thanks, Toby, for taking time, and we'll talk to you this summer, as you said.
All right,
have a great day.
You guys all take
go to that
you
restaurant.
Guys all take care.
Go to the Mineral Hall.
Do.
All right.
All right. You guys take care.
All right. Thank you, man. Toby Hall, you'll meet him. He's just a great cat. He was a catcher for the White Sox and for the Rays, and he's immersed in the world of baseball here. Big O, did you meet Coach?
I've not met Coach. Coach, come have a seat. Come on around.
Matt Gudorf, the head coach of my, I have to say this, my favorite team, my adopted team. And how are you, my man?
I'm good. Had a tough game last night.
You had a tough game last night. You still had a spring game last night?
Yeah, that was our game last night. We played Gibbs.
Did you?
Yeah, came up just short.
I had the Gibbs track coach on last Saturday, and one thing they're known for is a lot of speed.
They got a lot of speed
on that team.
Yeah,
is that your
size? They were big, man.
Is that your last game of the year?
Yeah. So we
talk about spring football to our audience that aren't familiar with the high school.
It's only about what, like 4 weeks, right?
Yeah. So we get 19 practices, and then we play a game. So, you know, spring's rough, man. I mean, it's a grind because you usually don't go that long without playing someone else. So it can be taxing.
Well, you know, you had a successful year last year.
Yes.
Not exactly where you want to be as you build this program. We talked about it the several times that you brought the team down. But, you know, it is critical for spring ball. Do you lose any athletes to other sports, though, for your spring?
No, we didn't this year. You know, baseball's going on, but it ends right about the time spring starts. And then, you know, track is going on, but only like the state finals. So we didn't lose anyone this year.
Well, let's talk about how many did lose from your 2021 team. And, you know, how you're going to fill those holes.
No, we lost a lot of kids.
We're
going to
meet some of the guys, I hope.
Yeah, yeah, they'll come over. Yeah, we lost, we graduated 24 seniors. So we lost a lot of kids we had to replace.
24?
24, yep. So we were young, especially in certain positions.
Next man in. Hey, did my man Rico make it down?
No, Rico didn't come down, but boy, did Rico had to play the game. Like, he, towards the end of the game.
Rico Freeman. That's just a cool name, and this kid is the real deal, I'm telling you.
He is. He's a beast. He ripped the ball out of a kid's hand and ran about 80 yards for a touchdown.
That's a Rico play.
Brought it to the crib. That's the play for somebody last name Freeman, for sure.
Yeah, it was nice. It set us up for a chance to win. We kicked an onside kick, recovered, and we were going for the win, but just came up short at the end of the game.
Is it safe to say that Rico will be the face of the team this year from a leadership perspective?
I'll definitely be one of them. Yeah, he will definitely be one of them.
All right. So what have you been up to? How's the fam?
Family's doing well. Past 4 weeks, it's been all football. It's been all football.
Well, your girls are used to it.
Yeah, they are. And my wife's used to it, I think. It's rough on her, but she's a good football wife.
Yeah, she certainly is.
Do you back when I was in high school? I'm not from here. I'm from Detroit. But back when I was in high school,
we won't hold that against him, Coach.
All right.
He's from Indiana.
Where'd you go to school?
Bloomfield Hills High School up there.
Yeah.
I played baseball up there and played hoops, but never a football guy. My question to you is: do you teach any other subjects at the high school?
Yes, I do. Now I'm lucky. We have a football class, so I teach the football class.
Okay.
Weightlifting, but I also teach an online economics.
Weightlifting. we've shared that we're both Catholics, and I went to a private school, and our coaches they were the home run, not
homeroom
and study hall.
Yeah.
And the rest of the time, they're handing us plays. And here in the weight room?
I'm in the weight room, but only for one period. The other periods, I got to teach an economics class. So,
well, business 101. If you ever want someone to come and talk to your economics class, he graduated from the Michigan State School of Business.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah?
I did teach finance for a semester. I taught introductory finance, but... It's good they got you in the weight room. We had, I remember our football coach taught math. He taught pre-calculus. And I was like, I think, not, you seem like a smart guy, but for him, it was a little bit out of his lane.
Yeah.
So I like to see that they're keeping coach to his strength.
Yes, me too, man. Me too. I used to teach history, but they got me out of that and got me into something not quite as demanding.
Do you get a whole bunch of kids who sign up because they know coaches? Coach teaches weightlifting for an hour.
Yeah, we do.
I bet you get some kids in there who gets a clown. And I remember I had a PE coach was our varsity baseball coach, and he couldn't, when the team got into his class, he couldn't keep shit straight. He just couldn't keep it together.
I don't allow any clowning. No, we take the football class really seriously. That's our time to lift, man.
All right, so I got to divert just for a second. Do you encourage your, since it's track time, and I talked to the Gibbs coach, do you encourage your fellas to run track and field?
I do. I like multi-sport kids. Like the kid you're talking about, Rico, he's a football player, a basketball player. He plays lacrosse.
He does?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
He's a beast on the lacrosse field. So, no, yeah, I want my kids to play other sports.
Rico plays hoops, too?
Oh, yeah. He's from Indiana. He's
well, Indiana the, you know the reality of a kid like him, and you'll meet him in the fall, of a kid like him, you know, the college teams are already chomping at the bit because of his GPA. But they love multi-sport athletes. There's no guarantee where he's going to play when he gets there.
Right.
But when they see that athleticism,
yes,
it's great for the resume.
He's well-rounded.
Yeah. Yes, he is. Why don't we bring some of the fellas over here? And you're listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. I'm rallying I got hit a little bit this week with some kind of a bug early in the week.
It's going around. We got hit with our team got hit, and my wife is at home sick right now.
Oh my!
Yeah.
Well, trust me, I did the COVID test. I'm good to go.
Okay.
I'm not going to breathe on the boys, and I think I'm definitely out of the woods. Had Mike Miller and his gang on. That's quite a story. Only 12 kids on his baseball team this year.
Yeah.
And then they are battling. I mean. That was an amazing story, if you will. And let's talk about your guys. Introduce them from whatever direction you want. You're the man with the plan.
Got it. No, right here to my right.
Hey, those guys behind you, they look like they graduated a while
ago.
Yeah,
they're coaches.
I know that. I know that.
Now, the guy to my right here, this is T'Von Smith.
T'Von Smith?
Yeah, plays wide receiver for us. Had a great game last night. Great game. Next to me on my left, this is Jeremiah Knowlton, plays defensive tackle for us. This is our quarterback, Talon Hughes. And behind him is our safety, Jeremiah Denard.
Well, welcome down here, gentlemen. The Pirates are down here three times last year. I brought the baseball team down. I'm kind of I'm a Pirate fan, and for several reasons. My girlfriend graduated from there, and I love your coach. He's a great leader of young men, and it's just a great story, what he's trying to do there. Why don't we throw the mic over here? To this young man, welcome to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. You smile all the time?
Yes.
That's good. You can talk a little louder because your mom's going to probably hear this interview because we archive them for you. So what's your favorite? You're a junior?
Yes.
Did you play last year varsity?
Yes.
Okay, your favorite memory of last year? And what you want to what do you want to accomplish this year in 2022?
My favorite meme was when I like screen passes. I like them screen passes.
You like being out there in the wide in the open one on one.
Yes.
With some blockers in front of you. Everybody likes to have blockers in front of them.
I like up top balls too. When you throw it up to me.
How tall are you?
6'2".
Wow, coach loves you too. Cornerbacks do not love you, and you probably want to make mincemeat out of them. Speed?
Got speed and route running ability.
He's got all the weapons.
Yes.
All right, young man. Well, can this guy get you the rock when you need it?
Yes.
That's important. This is the quietest guy I've ever had.
Not typically.
Not typically? Well, just like you're in the locker room shooting the ball at the fellas. Yeah, just chill out, relax. This will make you relax. You got a girlfriend?
Yes.
Well, you better do a shout out to mom first, or anybody out there, family, and then you can do a shout out to her.
Yeah. Shout out to my mom.
What's your mom's name?
Tasha Davis. And shout out to my dad, Terrence Smith. And shout out to my girlfriend, Omari.
You covered all the bases, my friend. You're gonna have a good weekend, and mom will probably make you a nice meal for giving her some love.
Yeah.
Who do we have over here?
Jeremiah Knowlton.
There you go, Jeremiah. And you're on the defensive line?
Yes.
Are you an edge player? You look lean and mean, man.
I can do both. Defensive tackle, defensive end.
Yeah, you look lean and mean. You're a junior?
Yes.
You do have a youth movement down here.
Yep, we do. We're young.
Did you play last year on the varsity?
No, great. So I was just there, you know, with my team, practicing with them.
Well, I'm sure Coach is making sure those grades now. Because you need all the bodies and the talent you can get.
Well, let me tell you, last year, he was ineligible, but he never missed a practice. Came to every practice, worked really hard. Now he's got his grades up and he's ready to go.
I applaud you for that, that hard work, and that'll get you a long ways. And Coach will make sure you stay focused. What are your goals this year? For 2022
is, beyond you, just sack the quarterback every chance I get.
That is the goal for you. I know your favorite defensive lineman in the NFL that you'd like to.
My favorite defensive lineman is either Nick Bosa or. That's really it. It's Nick Bosa.
Nick Bosa, yeah, he is one tough hombre. You work on the swim. I mean, you got all the moves figured out, or you're working on them?
I'm working on them.
Well, keep working on them, but the grade's number one, I can assure you. Okay, you want to do a shout-out to anyone?
Yeah, shout-out to both of my moms and just my sister.
The names?
LaToya Jackson and Polly Benjamin.
Give them a little love, yeah.
Yeah, and my sister and brother Morgan and Deion Jackson.
Fabulous. And do you have a girlfriend?
No.
Smart man. No offense, young man. You got plenty of time for that. Now let's go to the guy that the signal caller, the guy that gets you get all the accolades and all the pressure if you don't perform. That's just the reality of being a quarterback or a pitcher or even a point guard. So your name again and your year.
Talon Hughes, 24.
Talk like you're in the huddle, man, and you needed people's attention. A little louder.
I'm Talon Hughes. I'm a sophomore in class of 24.
Sophomore. Is he going to be your man?
Yeah, he's going to be the man. He's got a rocket arm.
That's impressive, young man.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Did you start at Bogey last year?
No, did not get that much play time.
No. I mean, you were at Bogey last year.
Yeah. I'm a transfer. I'm from Tampa, originally Plant. That's where I went my freshman year, but I transferred sophomore year. Now I'm at Bogey.
I bet Coach loved coming over. You got that Plant playbook in the back of your noggin?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about what are your goals this year as a sophomore and a young leader. There's a lot of pressure on your shoulders. I'm sure you realize that. They're gonna expect you to perform.
Yeah,
rookie.
I'm hoping that we have obviously the winning season, and to get 3 stars on Rivals is basically my goals for this year. So yeah, just two pretty simple attainable goals, I guess.
Well, I don't know about simple, but they're attainable.
Yeah.
And if Coach has the confidence in you as a sophomore, it's a different world now. I want to get this many stars.
I know, isn't it?
You know, I want Max Preps looking at me, shooting video. Damn, I'm old.
Yeah.
But, that's a great aspiration and goal. And by the time you're a senior, 5 stars. And I can say I knew you'd win. Hey, you want to do a shout-out to anybody? Who's your favorite quarterback, by the way?
Favorite quarterback? Probably Johnny Manziel when he was in college, not in the NFL.
I did not see that coming.
Not in the NFL.
Do not emulate him at post-college.
Yeah.
Do not.
Sure. Only college.
Were you an A&M fan?
No, I just like how he plays football.
I never saw that coming.
No,
that's one of the most unique responses that I have I've heard. But Johnny Manziel.
In college, yeah.
In college. You want to clarify. All right. You want to carry that Heisman someday. All right, so want to do a shout-out to anyone?
Shout out to my sister, Summer Hughes.
Anyone else? Cover your bases?
No.
All right, my man. Summer Hughes. And girlfriend?
No.
Good answer. He's a sophomore. Yeah, I wouldn't want to hear that. All right, now guys, you're gonna have to get up for a minute and let the old guy sit down. Good catch. That's a defensive lineman with the hands and the quicks. Yeah, you guys get up here and share a little mic time. Sophomore quarterback.
Yeah, sophomore quarterback. Good leader, man. Like he's going to be the man. I promise you.
All right. So, I went to two of your games last year. How many guys you have out for football this year? What do you think it's going to look like in the fall?
We had about 65 on varsity.
Those are good numbers.
Yeah, we have good numbers.
Mm-hmm. Those are better numbers than when you took over the program.
Yes, yeah. We're
considerably.
Yeah, I'm trying to build it up, man.
Now if we can just build your band numbers up.
Yeah. Well, that's not my responsibility.
I know that. I felt sorry for the band with a school that size, but introduce these guys and we'll get their perspective. And,
sure.
And I always applaud anybody that's giving back to the youth of our country and your commitment, because I know how well paid you are. And you're paid as well as the big O here right now in my, even though he's graduating college, my intern program.
Yeah, sitting next to me is our quarterback coach, Jimmy LeBrie, and next to him is our linebacker coach, Anthony Frontino.
Well, Jimmy, you got a sophomore to mold. And, oh, we missed a young man. He was sitting, yeah.
I don't know how you missed him. He's huge.
Yeah. He was silent back there. We'll bring him in. So you've got a sophomore to work with. And have you ever had a sophomore starter that you had to groom?
I mean, yeah. I've had young quarterbacks before. So, you know, they're like a piece of clay. You know, you can always mold them. He has all the potential in the world. You know, I'm excited to work with him.
And they listen. And well, hopefully that's yeah. The goal, yeah?
Absolutely.
You better keep a close eye on him. He's got some Johnny Manziel aspirations.
That's fine.
I'm not talking about off the field.
As long as Johnny between the lines, I'm fine with
it. Exactly.
Johnny between the lines.
So he must be mobile if that's his one of his mentors.
I mean, that's his aspiration. You know, what was it? Rivals had you as a pro style? Was it Rivals or 24/7? Rivals 24/7 had him as a pro style. You know, he took that a little to heart. And, you know, he got out and ran a little bit last night, showed off his wheels. So.
Good. So talk about this squad this year. How long have you been with Coach?
This is actually my first year.
I thought so. I thought I met everybody. And I'll tell you what. You know, and he won't accept this, but he's a great leader of young men, and I just love the passion, the commitment that he wants to build a program. And I know how tough it is in Pinellas County as a public school. He and I have talked about it ad nauseum. It frightens me that they expect so much. But you're a young guy. This is a great opportunity to make a difference in life, and you got young kids that'll listen to it. And you're young. That's one thing.
Yeah.
The young coaching staffs of today, dinosaurs like me can't get through these young guys.
Yeah.
That's obvious. What do you think? I got the big O around.
Absolutely.
For conversation, and so he can define what they're saying to me anyway.
You know, I think that's one thing that Coach Frontino and I have. We're both young guys, so, you know, we're able to relate to these kids on the way because, you know, we're just a few years from playing, you know, high school football, so we can relate to them that way. But yet we're old enough to where, you know, they see our guidance. They see that, you know, they can follow our steps and learn from us and the things we did, so.
Okay, let's go over your background. Where are you from? Where did you go to high school?
I'm originally from Texas, so I went to a small private school in Dallas. So, you know, I got...
What school did you go to?
It's Lake Hill Prep.
Okay.
Small private school. So.
I lived in Plano for a while. So.
Absolutely. So, you know, I got a little Texas football history in me. So.
You're the one that got him on this Manziel deal.
I don't blame him one bit. I saw Manziel playing college.
I'm just pimping
college
you.
At the same time. So, you know, it's one of the best guys I've ever seen play it. So.
Well, he was amazing. So what got you to Florida then?
My girlfriend was originally from down here, so kind of wanted to move back, so kind of just picked up my roots and came on down.
Are you happy you made the move?
Absolutely. You know,
there's
you can't
there's
beat
water
the weather.
Here,
can't
brother.
Beat the weather.
Can't beat the
can't
weather,
beat the
you
weather.
Know, and there's water.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I was... a little Austin trip, you know. They've got water there, but nothing like this.
Yeah.
You're in paradise.
Absolutely.
Good move. And
yep.
You want to do a shout out to anybody back in Texas?
Here
on the airwaves, we stream worldwide.
I can shout out to my brother Matthew LeBrie, my mom Michelle, sister-in-law Georgina, and they're expecting their first here in the next few months, so it's exciting.
Fellas, that's how you do a shout out. You touch all the bases, so when you get home, nobody's in your face said, hey, you forgot me. You know, the girlfriend, the moms, the dads. Make sure you do that and do the shout outs. I do those a lot. I want to make sure that you appreciate the people that helped you get where you're at.
Absolutely.
All right. So are you on the teaching staff as well? Or you
yes.
Just,
okay. I started on the teaching staff back in February. I'm doing AVID, so I had juniors this year. I think I'm going to have sophomores and juniors next year, so it's exciting. It's a good time.
Well, again, I applaud any of you that are teaching as well as coaching these young kids today. It is a struggle. And my family, I'm the only dark sheep that didn't get into education. My father, my mother, and it's very rewarding. That's why I enjoy working with the kids and the coaches today. Look forward to more conversations with you guys.
Absolutely.
And molding this youngster into a five-star.
That's the plan.
All right,
That's
man.
That's the plan.
All right. Hey, what college did you go to?
So I went to Oklahoma State University. So.
Really?
Uh-huh.
All right. He's a cowboy.
Yeah, absolutely. Cowboy through and through.
I've been, I have a golf radio show that's on prior to this, and been watching a lot of the Southern Hills, of course, in Oklahoma.
Yep.
And people from the outside don't realize the game of golf, how huge it is.
At Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma State.
Absolutely.
The facilities,
yep.
The number of guys that have played on the PGA,
mm-hmm.
The Ricky Fowlers of the world. I mean, he could go on and yep. on and on. And you pick up the sticks at all?
You know, I do a little bit, you know, from time to time. You know, coaching football, you know, it's year-round. So you got to get your time off and do it when you can. But, you know, it's tough. It's tough, tough, tough.
Well, we'll be out there accumulating golf passes in the local area. We'll share them with you.
Perfect.
You a stick? You play?
Very poorly.
Take him on and give him a good beating.
I never said I didn't play poorly either, but you know, you get up and you go do it.
Well, you'd fit right in with my group or Hacks. But anyway, pleasure to meet you.
Absolutely.
Welcome to Florida and success this year. And we'll be talking to you in the fall as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And your name again, young man? I got ADD and I got foggy brain right now.
It's all right, man. I have that most days. It's Coach Frontino, Anthony. Nice to meet you.
Well, Anthony Frontino, I like that. I usually butcher names that begin that end in a vowel.
That's all right.
But I'm not gonna. I don't want to mess with you. what position do you coach?
I coach the linebackers and help out with the defense.
And you look like the kind of guy that should be coaching defense and linebackers, doesn't he? You got that look.
It's the bald head.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want to go there. Where are you from?
Originally, I'm from a couple hours outside of Pittsburgh in Pennsylvania.
Steeler fan?
Steeler fan, absolutely.
Hence the colors you got on there?
Yeah, well, you know, it helps out.
I'm muting this mic. Is that all right? we'll go back to the head coach. No, loud and proud, rich tradition, of course. I'm a Packer fan, so both organizations, I know. both organizations are loud and proud with their years of tradition, and
right.
I like to see that. How'd you get to Florida?
Well, I was actually, I just graduated college a couple years ago, and I was getting my master's degree when the COVID-19 pandemic started, and I just kind of displaced down here. I kind of got tired of shoveling snow in my driveway every morning.
No kidding. I'm from Iowa. He's from Michigan.
Okay. All right. You guys get it.
He's from Indiana.
So I just figured I'd trade the snow for sunshine.
You don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Nah, a little bit. You know, yeah. You get an inch in Texas, and they get sand a little
worse. Oh, I know. Great trade, though, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So is this your first year, then?
Bogey? This is my second year at Bogey.
I helped out last year a little
okay. bit, but this is my first real year.
You had to gain your wings for the coach to bring you down to Ferg.
Yeah, right. There was initiation and everything I had to go through, and you know.
Yeah, right. Show up for work and help these kids, and you're in.
Yeah, right.
So so far, how do you like the experience? And
I love it.
And
it's great.
The young guys, you're all melding together to build a program.
Absolutely.
That's got to be something that you certainly look forward to.
Every day. And I talked to Coach Gu about it the other day. I mean, we all work at the school, and I teach English, but like football is the one thing that really makes the year. It makes everything kind of come together and click. You know, it makes it go faster, and it's the light of the day, so to speak. So
you guys should take English. I'm just telling you right now, just a suggestion.
Yeah.
So you got this young kid behind you, and he looks like he could be playing wide receiver. He's on the defensive line.
He wishes. Right. Yeah. No, he's a Jeremiah. He's a great lineman. He's a leader. Like Coach Goose said, he's a hard worker. He was ineligible last year, but I mean, he worked. You know, he did what he could to get back in the classroom and get his grades up and everything. And it's just, that's a testament to who he is as a person, I think.
One of the things that he and I have had conversation and I've discussed with other coaches, and I don't care if I've had a conversation with Jesuit or the Bogies or whomever.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.